1 Corinthians chapter 15. We left off, and this is a couple weeks ago now, so I'm having a hard time remembering, and if I can't remember, y'all probably don't have any idea of where we were at last time. I'm just kidding. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're around verse number 45 is where we'll pick back up. I'll do a little review, and that's what you got to watch for. You got to be careful about when you do your reviews. You end up repeating the whole lesson from before to get everybody ready for the next lesson, and then you don't have any time for the new lesson. But we'll try and do our best with that this morning. Trust the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll try and take time to look at verses 45 through 51 today. And I've spoken and taught and preached through some of these verses before. And I know when I preached on it one time before a few years ago, we called it the earthy, the heavenly, and the mystery, because they're all mentioned here in these verses from verse 45 down to verse 51. Now, it's the earthy and not the earthly. I know we use that word. But what the scripture uses here is the earthy, and it gives a full connotation of what God means for us to understand here in the passage. But I would like to review. Remember, we did verses 42 and 43 and 44 2 weeks ago today, talking about some contrasting statements that the Apostle Paul made to help us understand the truth that he's talking about here with the resurrection. And last week we had testimonies and a time with our missions conference, so we didn't have the lesson out of 1 Corinthians 15 last week. But remember, God does that often. It helps people like me understand what he's trying to tell us in the scripture. Just like the book of Proverbs, it'll give you one statement, and then it'll give you a contrasting statement beside it, and that helps you understand the distinctions and the differences and all the truth that God wants you to understand. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll remember that in verse 42, he starts using these phrases, these words, it is sown, it is raised. Now, four different times he uses those words, the comparison, it is sown, it is raised. And we talked and we went through those the last time we had our lesson here. And it helps us understand what all he's talking about, the truth of the resurrection. It's a supernatural thing. Man cannot resurrect man. Did you know that? Amen. Do you know they still, when some folks die, pretending, relating to whatever persuasion somebody might be as far as their so-called faith or religion, they'll sometimes have resurrection services and try to... I remember I went to a funeral years ago, back when I first got married, of a young lady that I went to school with here at our Christian school, and her husband had passed away, and I didn't actually know him, but I remember when I went to the funeral service and that certain persuasion that they... when the preacher was up preaching, he says, we're having the funeral service today, but a couple days before we had a resurrection service. We gathered around some of the family and we were asking God and laying hands and trying to get him to bring the life back into our son. Now, I understand people misdirect their faith sometimes, okay? But you understand man does not have that power? And yes, God did in the Old Testament through some of his prophets, say like Elisha or Elijah, and probably some others we could maybe think of. In the New Testament with some of the apostles, he did give them supernatural power as far as it was God's power given to them. They were just the instruments of it. And it had to do with God's signs and wonders that he provided for the Jewish people. And I've explained that many times, I believe, and can't go back all through that. But we see as in script, God gave us the full revelation of Scripture that those sign gifts, so supernatural sign gifts, that they passed away. He doesn't give those gifts to men to go. So we could have a healing service today, but you know what our healing service would have to be? It'd have to be prayer to God. Not me or not any other preacher or my dad or anybody else laying hands and saying, I have the gift of healing and I'm going to heal you. That has passed away. I want you to understand that. The Scripture is very clear about that. Now, I've talked about this many times, and I've talked about it enough right now. I think I need to talk about it a little bit more. But the Apostle Paul at one time had that during the what we call the Acts period, the history period that the book of Acts covers. As God was dealing with the fall of the nation of Israel, and he was allowing the gospel and everything to go to the Gentiles, and you have that transition time away from God's peculiar dealings with the nation of Israel and how he's dealing with all mankind, Jew and Gentile alike, on the basis of what Christ Jesus did for us, his finished work on the cross of Calvary. And as you see that thing transition, as time passes, you see the Apostle Paul, who had the gift of healing, God gave him that as an apostle. Now, not one of the Jewish 12, but as the apostle of the Gentiles. He did minister amongst the Jews some. When he went to different places, he preached in the synagogue, and that's where the Jews were gathered. Okay, that was his manner, that was his custom. The scripture talks about that. And so he had that exclamation point upon his ministry that God gave him so the Jews would understand that his ministry was of God. But as the Jews didn't believe and rejected the truth that was being preached, and he would say, you know, I'm clean, henceforth I go to the Gentiles. That statement's made several times. You see, as his ministry became more and more about preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, that the healings and the supernatural sign gifts passed away. The Apostle Paul, who healed a man named Eutychus, that was up, was he in the third story? He's in the third story by a window, and Paul was long preaching. See, long preaching is scriptural. Amen? Amen. Okay? Thank you, Dr. Harvey. Long preaching is scriptural. And Eutychus, I'm sure he was enjoying the preaching, but he fell asleep. And you know, you shouldn't fall asleep when you're sitting in the windowsill. And he fell. Okay? And he fell far enough, and he was dead. When they came to him, he was dead. And what did Paul do? Paul, through the power that God imparted to him, he saw that life come back into that young man's body, and he was resurrected. And there's other examples of that. Paul had the supernatural sign gift that God gave him of healing. But you see that pass away in Paul's own life. You see that when Timothy is sick and has often infirmities, he didn't say, okay, come visit me in prison, and I'll put my hands on you, and you'll be healed. He says, no, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Take that wine for medicinal purposes, okay? That's, by the way, that's the favorite verse of every drunkard today, amen? Yeah, they can all quote you that, right? Take a little wine. I'm just taking a little wine for my stomach's sake. Haven't put anything in my stomach but wine for a long time, but anyway. And so he tells them that for medicinal purposes, okay? Why would he do that? Why wouldn't he just impart a part of his garment and send it to him FedEx or whatever, and him take that and then he's healed? Because that happened in the book of Acts, did it not? Took parts of his garment and people that received it were healed. Why? Because that had passed away. God had brought man along according to his will and his program. So we see that. So as we get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul's preaching about the supernatural resurrection. How it's not of man, okay? It's not of man's power. And even today in 2011, and we're, by the way, soon to be in 2012. How about that? Soon to be in 2012, we still do not have the power to sustain life longer than when that spirit, when that time is called for, when that appointment comes. We can't delay it. No man hath the power to retain the spirit in the day of death, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8 says. I don't have that power. You don't have that power. The doctors don't have that power. The scientists don't have that power. Okay? So when it's your time, it's your time. And that's what the scripture says. And even with all the technology, if someone's life were to leave their body, now I understand in the emergency room with shocking somebody back to life and all that, but if someone's passed away, we don't have the ability to do some type of technological or medical procedure on them to have their life come back to them. Okay? That's beyond us. That's not our realm, okay? But yet, when it comes to the resurrection of our physical body as a believer in Christ Jesus, that's in God's realm, and He will supernaturally accomplish that impossible task. And that's what we've been reading about. Remember that one man said back in verse 35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Scoff, 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 scoff. You know, that's what he's basically saying, and I like Paul's answer, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, thou fool. Okay? It's foolish to doubt what God can do. Amen? Amen? And when you come to the resurrection of the physical body, that's in God's department. He's the one that's going to take care of that. And so we started talking about that, and we saw there's a difference in bodies. There's bodies terrestrial. There's bodies celestial. There's even a difference among flesh in this earthly realm, whether it's a fish or fishes. I like that because the Bible uses that, doesn't it? It uses the word fishes. Yeah, verse number 39. I like it when the Bible corrects all our grammar teachers we had growing up. Amen. Anyway, it says another of fishes and another of birds. You know, there's flesh of beasts and birds and fishes. There's a difference. There's a distinction there. And he's saying, don't you understand there's a distinction there? And so we get all the way down to verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Okay? If you understand the difference that you see around you and you observe around you, understand that when God does something, he'll give something a body as it has pleased him. And there's this truth applies to the resurrection of the dead. So we went through the verse 43, 44, about the striking contrast between it is sown, it is raised, it is sown, it is raised. So let's get to verse number 45 this morning and keep reading, okay? The Bible says here in verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. That's Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, right? The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So we have the first Adam, we're familiar with him from the Genesis story, the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and when Eve ate us all out of house and home. We're familiar with that story. Then you have the last Adam. He was made a quickening spirit. That's not referring to another man, so to speak. It's the God-man it's referring to. When God became a man, that's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. God made Adam, and then afterwards the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, and afterward that which is spiritual. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Adam was earthy, and all those that descended from Adam are earthy. And as is the heavenly, talking about Lord Jesus Christ, such are they also that are heavenly. So if you're in Christ Jesus, you have something more than just your earthy existence. You have more than just your earthy state to look forward to. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, and we've all done that, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. What good news that is for the believer right there. Now, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we have a problem. If all we are is earthy, we're not going to get to be, in a sense, in the kingdom of God, dealing with what God's doing in the spiritual sense, and maybe even more so than that. But we're not going to be able to be with God and in God and in God's presence is all we are as earthy, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So you get to verse 51 and it says, behold. That means you ought to pay attention if you already weren't paying attention. Behold, I'm going to arrest your attention. That's why the angel said to the shepherds that were feeding their flocks by night, behold, you know, glad tidings of great joy, okay? They want to get your attention. I've got something very important to say. Behold, I show you a mystery. And I'll stop right there and we'll come back to it. Behold, I show you a mystery. So we see here in verse 47, the earthy. In verse number 47 and 48, we see the heavenly. And then in verse number 51, we see the mystery. So let's talk about that just for the few minutes we have left this morning. Verse 47, first of all, is dealing with the earthy. You know what the definition of the word earthy is? Made of the earth, okay? And I know you come to Sunday school to be amazed, and now you consider yourself amazed. The word earthy means made of the earth. You ever remember that story, that joke about the scientists? They were all full of themselves, saying that they thought they could challenge God, and we can do what God can do. So the conversation went something like this. The scientist said to God, you know, now we're cloning things, Lord, and in our labs with our processes and our chemicals and everything else, we can bring forth life. We can do just what you can do. We can create also. And God says, okay, let's have a contest. And they said, okay, will we be able to use all our labs and all our technology and all our computers and all our forensic? We'll be able to use all that. And God says, well, when I created man, when I created life, I just used the dirt, the dust of the ground. And will you agree to those terms? And so the scientist said, you know what, it'll take us a little longer, set us back a little bit, but if we can take the dirt and the soil, and we can extract what we need, and we can do a creative process. So yeah, we'll accept that challenge. And God said, hold on a minute. You know what you need to do? You need to go get your own dirt, okay? Because see, everything we see, God made that, right? Everything we see, God made that, and scientists can't even make dirt, amen? And by the way, all that cloning talk that was a big deal a few years ago, you don't hear too much about it anymore. Stuff they cloned didn't turn out, I don't think, like they were very proud of, okay? Dolly, remember the sheep Dolly, you know? I don't think the lamb chops were that tasty, I don't think, so they quit doing that. I don't think she had a very good lifespan there. But anyway, you can't have a contest with God. But the definition of the word earthy means made of the earth. If God wouldn't have called Adam Adam, maybe he could have named him clay, you know? That would have been a good name also. But Adam, I go with God's name, and we'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. You know, today being earthy is somewhat in style, right? Who was it? Somebody was talking about how they were witnessing to a middle school, one of the middle school children that walked back and forth the school past our property, and was talking to the Lord, talking to this young person, this young man about the Lord, and the man says, oh yeah, the young man says, I'm going to heaven. He asked him the question, if you died right now, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven, or would you have some doubt? And he's like, oh no, I'm going to heaven. He's like, well, what is it you're trusting that's going to take you to heaven? What is it that you're believing that's going to get you to heaven? He says, oh, well, I believe in being green and taking care of the earth and being a good steward of the environment. And he started using words like that he learned at school and probably learned on TV through all the programs and all the propaganda that's talked today. You know, we can be good stewards. I understand that. And being earthy is somewhat in style, but that religion, that belief, that faith will help you bust hell wide open just like other false faiths. You know the Bible disproves global warming, which is, you know, they don't talk about it as much this time of year, but it disproves global warming. Do you know it says as long as the earth remaineth, there'll be seed time and harvest, cold, hot and cold, summer, winter. You know the Bible says that? So as long as the earth remaineth, God's going to make sure there's still a winter and there's still a summer. He's going to still give the seasons. He's still going to give the harvest. That just disproves global warming right there. They like to tell you that, you know, things are going to get so off center, not so skewed that the seasons will be thrown off. No, the Bible says they'll always be there as long as God wants them to be there. So that disproves, once again, scientists and global warming. But being earthy is somewhat in style today. And I've said this before. I understand if we ate a little bit more earthy-minded, that it would be more healthy for us, okay? But understand this. In the book of Genesis, the Bible describes unfallen man. Genesis 5:1 talks about Adam was created. Now, he was made of the dust of the ground, okay? God formed him of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. I think we understand the truth of that. That's how we got here. That's how Adam got here. Adam was created. And when he was created, he was made in the likeness and image of God. Genesis 1:27, I believe, talks about that. Now, we often say that we're made in the likeness and image of God, but do you understand the Bible says Adam was made in the likeness and image of God? That's referring to him in his unfallen state. Now, we have to understand that a little bit. Yes, he was the earthy, but he was in the unfallen state of being in the likeness and image of God. Luke chapter 4, if you trace that genealogy backwards, it goes all the way back, and that's Mary's genealogy there. You go all the way back where it says, and Adam was the son of God. Okay, because he was the son of him, he was the son of him. You see all that going, and then it says Adam, who was the son of God. So Adam was created in the likeness and image of God. But if you read a little further, it talks about fallen man. Something has happened. Genesis 5:3, it says, Adam begat a son in his own likeness. So Adam was in the image of God. Seth, the son it's referring to, was in the image of Adam. In his own likeness. You know who we're in the image of? We're in the image of the earthy. We're in the image of Adam. All of us in here, we are in the likeness of our Father who plunged all mankind into sin. Romans 5:12 says it this way, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I said this before, and I'll really quickly go over this right now, but being a pastor and just being in a church family, we all have experience like this when someone has lost a loved one, and I hate to use that term, but when someone passes away that's near and dear to you, that you have great love and affection for, someone, maybe a family member or whatever else it might be, people often will ask the question, why? Why, God? Why did that happen? I have been asked that many times. People normally don't like the answer, but if you let your mind attach or latch on to what the Bible says, see, we want to blame God when something tragic or something bad happens, maybe even what we consider to the innocent. I mean, what about when an infant baby passes away? That infant baby had not purposely and willfully committed a sin against the holy, righteous God to where God's judgment had to come down upon that little baby. We understand that, don't we? So we ask, why? Why? It's not fair. It's not just. It's not right. No, no, no. You forget the reason death comes, and the reason death comes to the guilty and the innocent alike, the just and the unjust alike, the reason it comes is because sin is operating in our earthly realm. So there would be no death if there would have never been sin. Do you understand that? How did death enter the world? Romans 5:12 says it entered the world because sin entered the world. So we ask why. The answer is that terrible three-letter word, S-I-N. So if we understand it's the consequences and the ramifications of sin, yes, Adam, yes, he sinned, and yes, he died, and he brought death upon all his descendants, even the innocent descendants of Adam have experienced death. Even what you'd say the righteous descendants of Adam have experienced death. And it's not God's fault, it's Adam's fault, it's man's fault for participating in sin. Because the results of sin is death, for the wages of sin is death. That's what the scripture says. And there's no way around that in this earthly realm. In this earthly realm. So you understand what the earthy means here. The earthy means we're attached to Adam. We've been made. We're in the likeness and the image of Adam. And that's tough. That's tough. That means we're going to have pain and suffering and heartaches and hard times down here in this earthly realm. But I'm glad that the passage keeps going and it talks about the heavenly. The heavenly. Look at verses 47 and verse 48. The first man is of the earth earthy. That's Adam. The second man is, talking about the heavenly, is the Lord, capital L, from heaven. Thank God that the Lord from heaven intervened in our earthly estate. Amen? Amen. Even though mankind fell, there's verses in the scripture like Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 that says, But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to think that God had a plan to rescue all mankind from the fall? Romans 8:3 says it this way, talking about God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now remember, Adam was made in the likeness of God, but he sinned and brought upon him and all his descendants the curse of death. But here's the good news. In infinite grace, God sent himself in his own son, and his own son was made. Hebrews chapter 2 talks about Christ being made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. His own son was made in the likeness of sinful flesh that he might condemn sin that brought death upon all of us, that he might condemn sin and judge it. See, Christ was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. That means he was a man in this earthly realm. Yet, what did he do? He lived a life. He died a death. He was buried and rose again, all to redeem all of us earthy back to the heavenly. Amen? That's what Jesus Christ did for us. As a result, those of us who have placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will someday be like him. Look at verse number 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we all came from Adam. If There's no one here today that didn't come from Adam. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus today, this earthy realm is not all there is for you. There's not all there is to you. You're going to have a heavenly existence. God's going to resurrect you. He's going to give you a body that never wears out, that never needs anything, that never has any problems, no moans, no groans, no aches, no pains, no conditions, no nothing, no itises or anything like that. You're going to have a glorified, resurrection, supernatural, immortal body. Amen. Doesn't sound too bad. When you think about it, it sounds really, 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 really good. Well, the question is, we have the earthy contrasted with the heavenly, but when does the earthy become the heavenly? That's what's answered in verse 51 and through the end of the chapter, the mystery, okay? The mystery is what takes the earthy and makes it the heavenly. The Lord Jesus Christ will someday be just like Him. Verse 49 says that. Philippians 3, 20 and 21, I've quoted it so many times while we're doing this 1 Corinthians 15 study. He's going to change our vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. Okay? That's what this is talking about. What's the missing piece to the puzzle? What's the missing part to the equation that takes the earthy and makes it the heavenly? It's in between here, and it's called the mystery. Look at verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, talking about physical death, but we shall all be changed. The heavenly intervened on the behalf of the earthly, and God, in the form, in the man of the Lord Jesus Christ, took flesh and lived the life that no other man had ever lived, and became the Savior and the Lord and the conqueror for all those of us that are in this earthly realm. The only thing that we have to do is make sure we're in Christ Jesus. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have faith in what God did for us in Christ Jesus. That's the mystery right there. What can take the earthy and make it the heavenly? The answer, only God can take the earthy and make it the heavenly, and that's explained in the mystery. The Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery, and it starts talking about all that's going to happen, and I'll talk about this next time. But verse 53, for this corruptible. That's what, if you stay in this earthly body and in this earthy realm so long enough, it's going to give way to corruption. But God's going to take that corruption and He's going to reverse it and turn it into incorruption. He's going to take this mortal death and mortal existence that we have down here that's subject to death and disease and sickness and pain. He's going to take it and He's going to reverse that, and He's going to make us immortal. He's going to take the earthy and make it the heavenly. What great news that is. And only God can do it. Your faith has to be in God. Science will not do it. Science will not do it. I remember watching Star Trek, and oh, these guys were frozen, and they died from something hundreds of years ago that they had no cure for at the time, but now it's just a quick medical procedure for us, and they bring these people to life that have been dead for hundreds of years. No, it's not going to happen that way. No, this earthly existence is limited, and it's sorrowful, and it's suffering most of the time at its best, but God's going to give us an existence that takes away all those bad things and just exponentially multiplies the good things of knowing our Savior, knowing our Creator, and being in Christ Jesus for all eternity. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I guess you could say, is kind of that missing piece. I'll read it to you. For He, talking about Jesus Christ, talking about God taking Jesus Christ, He hath made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus didn't know any sin, that we, who did know sin, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The heavenly intervened on behalf of the earthy. And the result is we're going to be just like the heavenly. We're going to be just like the one that never sinned. Just like the one that does not face any consequences from sin. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. That's the best news you're going to hear anywhere. Christmas season or any other season of the year. That's the best news. That's that unspeakable gift that God gave us in Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is. Amen.